genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is entrepreneurial thinking. My first guest will talk about changing mindsets throughout an organization to become more entrepreneurial, which is going to help in this economic climate. She'll give us practical advice from her years of experience as a business owner and a consultant. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 639-0008. Jody Walker is an award-winning speaker, author, and consultant. She is known as the speaker with the creative advantage. She has more than 20 years of successful business experience and is the founder of Success Alliances, a training and development company that works with innovative organizations like Verizon, Atlas Van Lines, and Southern California Leadership Network, just to name a few. Jody is the recipient of the Certified Speaking Professionals designation that puts her in the elite 7% of all speakers worldwide. Her goal is to help people tap into their unique talents and strengths to move beyond business and life as usual. She'll be talking about entrepreneurial thinking to help organizations get back to the root of their success by focusing on more passion, more vision, and accountability in the workplace. Welcome to the show, Jody. How are you today?
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. So let's get right to it, shall we? I mean, during these tough economic times, most people are focused on keeping the job they have, keeping their heads low, riding out the storm until things become better. So why do you say now is the time to be thinking like an entrepreneur? How's that going to improve things?
Well, I describe the term entrepreneurial thinking as the ability to take personal ownership for results. And whether times are tough or times are good, this is an important concept to get people to really think like an entrepreneur. And entrepreneurs are very good at taking personal ownership for results and getting the job done. So within corporations and organizations, if we can apply that same concept, organizations small or large can really reap those benefits. And I think it's interesting because I officially trademarked the term almost 12 years ago. And at that time, no one was even talking about the concept. And if you did a search back then, you wouldn't get anything. Today, if you search the term over Google, you'd get 200,000 hits on Google. So
wow.
The concept is out there.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. But let's go back to it. So your definition of entrepreneurial thinking is really taking personal ownership, taking pride in what you do. That's not a new concept. I mean, let's go back to, you know, earlier manufacturing. Everybody took pride in what they do from whatever job it was, whether you were the bathroom attendant all the way through to the CEO. Why is taking personal ownership so much more important today?
Well, if you think about it, when we look at companies today, not everyone takes personal ownership for results. And that's a little bit different concept than just taking pride in your job. Because early on, it was interesting that clients were worried about their employees embracing the concept because they thought they would leave to start their own business. So in reality, you know, today when we get people to start to think more creatively, to take risks, and to think like an entrepreneur, that's a little bit different than just taking pride. These are people that are willing to, you know, try new things, take a different approach to be able to do things differently. I mean, if you look at how much more quickly things are done today. Let's take, for example, if you look at YouTube. YouTube was started by two former PayPal employees. It was created in 2005. By 2006, it was bought by Google for $1.65 billion dollars.
Yes.
So if you look at how small startups are now competing with very quickly with the big guys. So if we don't have people within our organizations that are willing to be more creative, and at the same time you have to have leadership that is willing to allow them to embrace that. So I think that's the difference. When we really say, look at your staff, look at your employees if you're a manager or a leader, and say, are my people really taking personal ownership for results, or are they just there doing their job?
Well, here's a two-part question for you, Jody. The first part is large organizations like, you know, General Motors or U.S. Steel, whatever company you can think of that's a massive organization, people can actually hide within the organization, just kind of do their job and get by and go and be totally unnoticed. And what you're saying is people need to take personal responsibility, they need to take ownership for the results. But the flip side of that is you're going to make some mistakes along the way. If you take ownership for your results, you go down a wrong path. In this environment, if you make a mistake, you're afraid of losing your job. So what would you say to that?
Well, I'd say that really is attributed to management and leadership, because if I've got people that are so afraid to take some risks and try something new for fear of a mistake, I mean, obviously, you know, nobody likes it when somebody makes a mistake, but sometimes that mistake leads into a path of a new business opportunity, a new way of improving a product. We see that all the time, but yet it really is attributed to the management and the leadership. If they allow people, if I've got a group of people that are running fearful of their job, which is what's happening in this economic downturn, is that really there are many people who are afraid they're next on the chopping block. So again, another reason to stand out in the crowd, if you are that employee, to be more entrepreneurial, in the sense it's not always just about taking risks, but about looking at creative ways to look at opportunities and thinking that way. So there's other aspects of that, but I think it really does come back to management and leadership, having them embrace the concept. You can't ask people to think like an entrepreneur within a company if it's not embraced from the top-down, bottom-up philosophy. And I've seen this firsthand with organizations. We did a very large organization, did a 40-city tour, and the frontline people really embraced the concept. But I would have people coming up to me afterwards and saying, well, this is great, but I don't think my boss is going to let me think more creatively like this. We're really on this regimented, you know, program. So again, it's the old way of thinking or the new way of thinking. If you look at the Googles, the YouTubes, and some of these other companies, they allowed people to do this.
All right, and maybe the difference between a manager and a leader as well. So you say it all comes down to the leadership. How do you get leadership on board with entrepreneurial thinking so that they can then spread it to their employees and everybody who works beneath them?
Well, I think the first thing is they have to embrace the concept themselves. And if you look at small to mid-sized businesses, they actually get it easier. And the reason is because they're not too far removed sometimes from when that business first started. So when a business is just getting going, that entrepreneurial concept is right in line. Everybody's moving and shaking, so to speak, along those lines. But the bigger the company gets, the more removed they can get from that because of the bureaucracy and because of the day-to-day business. They lose sight of what got them started. So I always ask people to, you know, to look back at the beginning, and even employees that have been around for a long time, take a look at your company. Look at the history of how the company was founded and the principles it was founded on, whether it's a very, you know, large company or a mid-sized company. And you'll see these entrepreneurial thinking traits similar to ones that I talk about from my research, which are really, I use an acronym to help people embrace that concept, and it's called the ET Factor, and it stands for Focus Vision, Accelerated Career Strategies, Confidence, Thinking Skills, Originality, and Risk.
Hold on now. Run that by me again.
Okay,
it's the ET Factor.
Focused vision,
yes.
Accelerated career strategies, confidence, thinking skills, originality, and that's that creative piece, and then risk-taking. And so when you combine those together and people learn to embrace those concepts, you know, again, as you pointed out, from the management perspective, leadership management perspective, as well as, you know, all the way down to the front lines, that's when you get people to take that accountability.
All right. So going back to the roots, thinking about what it is that formed your company is really going to help you to get redirected, get you back around what got you energized in the first place. I get that. But let's say your company, I'm just going to throw this out as a fictitious what if, but what if your company was manufacturing buggy whips? and that's why you started, and that's what you were good at. But now you're at the crossroads. There are no more buggies. What do you do then? How do you move ahead, and how do you get people to think originally in a situation like that?
Well, I think that's a great question, because if you think about that, there's lots of products that get to a certain point and they say, now either the competitor takes it and takes a new turn with that product or takes it into a new business opportunity. The same exact product that, you know, wore out its welcome in one area is now valuable in another area. And that's, I think, when you get people to embrace the creative aspect of what if, you know, what looking at, is there another way to look at that product? Is there another way to think about it? But if people just move on, well, we've exhausted this, what's next, as opposed to kind of looking at existing things from a creative opportunity. And I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young girl that actually, she was 16 years old, and it was a school project that she turned into a $30 million business.
Wow.
Now, here's what she did. She took the idea of the flip-flop sandal, the sandal that a lot of us wear throughout the summer,
mm-hmm.
the flip-flop sandal. She created a design-your-own style of customization. So in other words, she calls it now switch flops, in which the sandals have interchangeable straps. So she took an existing concept and said, I wonder if we could make this into a way to have multiple shoes from one pair of shoes, which is exactly what she did. But she took the existing product concept, gave the customer choices. Now, here's what I think is so interesting about that, Bill, is that Nike has been letting customers customize their shoes for years, yet in the flip-flop business, it took a 16-year-old girl to think about a new way of looking at this idea.
Oh, it's a fascinating story. We're talking to Jody Walker, everybody. We're talking about entrepreneurial thinking. Jody is a consultant and a professional speaker. Jody, we've got a break for some commercials right now, but I want you to think about this when we come back. You mentioned that large businesses have a little bit more entropy that they've got to get over, that small businesses can benefit from entrepreneurial thinking better. Here in Ventura County, we have a lot of small and mid-sized businesses. So I want to come back and talk about some specific things using your acronym that we can do to become more entrepreneurial in our small and mid-sized businesses. Don't answer that now, but answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is entrepreneurial thinking. I'm speaking with Jody Walker. She is a consultant, a public speaker, and an expert on entrepreneurial thinking. And before we broke for commercial, Jody, we were talking about how small and mid-sized companies, like we have here in Ventura County, can benefit from entrepreneurial thinking. And I asked you to relate your acronym, which is FACTOR, F-A-C-T-O-R, to how these small and mid-sized businesses can really rev up their revenues. How would you do that?
Okay, great. I think one of the things that small and mid-sized companies have an opportunity to do based on their size is to really have opportunities where they can have meetings to really look at the individual strengths and talents. And that's one of the things that I always encourage managers to spend time doing, not spending so much time looking at what they do wrong, but really focusing on what they do right, their strengths, their talents. And another one of the activities that I often have frontline folks and managers and leaders work through is the personal mission statement. And here's how this helps. If I'm an individual, I have to look at what's, you know, I'm interested in my own success as an individual, but I'm also interested, you know, hopefully in the success of the company as well, regardless of whether I'm the owner or not. So it's got to be a two-way street. I have to think about what's good for the organization, but I also want the organization to think about, you know, my contribution as well. So I have people develop what I call their personal mission statement. And most organizations have a corporate mission statement, but in most of the research, and I usually do a survey for almost all the companies that I go into work with, and it always comes back when I ask them, do you have a personal mission statement? It usually comes back about 70-30, 30% of the people saying that they have one and about 70% of the people saying that they don't.
I'm surprised it's that high at 30%. That's
actually
a good number.
I think that's kind of high, too, because really when it comes down to it, when we actually get into the program, usually most of those people can't really remember what it is.
Oh, okay.
So when I say that's what they're saying on the survey, it's always interesting. I had a group of 100 different managers from different areas in a healthcare company, and they did the survey. And I was talking to the lady in human resources, telling her the results, and she said, I'm surprised that only, 30% of the people said they had it, because they all did this in an activity about a year ago with another Stephen Covey program or something of that sort. So I guess the bottom line is, you can go through something like this, but if you don't embrace it and you don't live it, it doesn't become part of who you are.
Exactly.
Then it just becomes an activity. So I always tell, mid-size, any company size really, but for these folks that are willing to take the time to develop the culture of entrepreneurial thinking, get to know the talent and the people that you have, let them think about what is their personal mission, because that's what drives their behavior. That's what gets them to come to work every day, is really what they're all about, how they contribute. And then once they have that personal mission and see how they want to contribute even to the world, if you will, they can then take that and link that to how it applies to the corporation.
All right. Let's take this whole concept of a personal mission statement. I like that. But I'm going to give you a real-world scenario, because I've just read a survey recently that said 55% of employees right now are waiting for this recession to be over. As soon as it is, they're going to start looking for another job. They are disengaged employees. And I'm sure that every company has disengaged employees to some extent. How do you get disengaged employees or a disengaged workforce to embrace the idea of a personal mission statement?
Well, because people like to talk about what's important to them. And how often do they get to talk about what's important to them in corporations, if you think about it? It's always about what's best for the company. And the individual is saying, well, the CEO this, or they're doing that, but, what about me? And they're just, as you said, they're waiting around. And the challenge that companies have that are not really thinking about this is that there will, once the curve, happens and we get out of this, economic downturn, as you said, as the survey results show, people will jump ship. So if you don't have an engaged workforce and you're not acknowledging them and being, making them feel as they're part of your team, and they jump ship, where does that leave you as a manager and leader? That leaves you hiring people, and the cost of rehiring people is astronomical. If you've got good people and you can keep them engaged on the job, get them realizing how valuable they are, I think that's the most overlooked thing I see in business today, is that the people get so busy because obviously we're doing more with less. They've had to maybe lay off some people. They have to, there's a lot of stress in the environment. And then, of course, people aren't engaged. They're really thinking about, gosh, I can't wait to switch jobs.
Sure, sure. We're talking to Jody Walker, everybody, a consultant, and she's talking about entrepreneurial thinking at every level of the organization. Jody, I'm going to kind of follow up on that question and talk about leaders, because leaders not only have to instill entrepreneurial thinking in their employees, but they also have to make their customers feel that they're an entrepreneurial thinking company. So how can leaders make sure that entrepreneurial thinking is instilled in their organizations and that extends out to their customers as well?
Well, I think if you've got the employees and the staff and the people that are embracing that concept, it's gonna show through to their customers. For example, if I take personal ownership for results at every level, not just with my colleagues on the job, but if I'm dealing with customers on a day-to-day basis, I'm going to make sure that takes place. And I think we've seen organizations start to try to make us feel like they really care more about us. You notice on customer service phone calls, you'll hear people saying, have I met all your expectations? But now even that's become old.
Yes,
because
that's
everybody's
cliche.
Doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next thing? How do we get people to feel valued? And the first thing, I still go back to, make your employees feel valued first, and then they in turn will, spread that concept to the customers and the people they come in contact with. And we've seen this over the years with a variety of companies, including, Southwest Airlines, who was known for valuing the employee first and then helping that to spill over then to the, the customers.
All right. I'm going to hit the pause button and rewind back to that, because the old mantra is the customer comes first. The customer's always right. So you're saying, no, that's not the case. You're saying something different. Employees have to come first. Is that right?
Well, that's one of the concepts that I really feel is important. And the reason is because we all know the customer isn't always right. However, how you make that customer feel becomes very, very important in how you handle that situation. So the concept that we're talking about of really making the employee feel valued, if you're valued, you're going to go the extra mile. If you are part of my team and you're working for me and we acknowledge the talents and strengths that you have, you're more likely to go the extra mile for that customer. If an employee is not treated very well and they don't feel like they're valued, you get that person on the phone, or you get that person at the, you know, that's dealing frontline with the customer that has that attitude of, I'm just here doing my job. And that's not good enough today.
That's right.
It's not good enough ever, in my opinion. But more importantly, you know, in this economy, I mean, if people don't get good service, I know for me, if I don't get good service, I'm on to the next person.
Exactly. We're talking to Jody Walker, everybody. And I think that comes back to what you were talking about before about disengaged employees. Now, Jody, that's all well and good what we've been talking about for the company and moving the company ahead. But let's get down to the individual level, because a lot of people are listening to the sound of your voice. They're at their desk at work or maybe driving someplace to a sales call in their car. What tips or tricks do you have for individuals to maximize their own success and in the process, of course, help their companies to succeed?
Well, I would give them a couple tips. The first one would be to make sure you take the time to write that personal mission statement. Get a grasp of really how that affects everything you do, so that every day you're working toward your personal goals and your professional goals, and then you can find a way to link that with the organization. And the second thing I would say, if there was something that you could do on an ongoing basis every day that could help you as an individual on the job and would certainly help your company ultimately in the end, would be to embrace curiosity. And by that I mean find ways to ask questions, to look at situations in a little different way. And I'm going to give you another example. A young boy came back from the Korean War to the only job he knew, working for a major airline, and he did restock the shelves and took care of the supplies, and he noticed there was a different brand of moist towelettes. And so what he did was he actually opened it, and he said, this is a different brand, which most people, as you know, would probably not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
Opened it, smelled it, noticed there was a lot of alcohol in it, and then said, I wonder if this would light. Took a match, lit it, it immediately caught on fire. They quickly put it out, and he went down to the manager's office and said, have you seen these moist towelettes? And the manager said, sure, they're on all our aircraft. Well, of course, in the 50s, what was going on was on the aircraft was
smoking.
Exactly. So this young boy took a simple concept and, you know, could have actually saved lives because immediately the manager said, let's get all these moist towelettes off the aircraft immediately. But it was because of this curiosity aspect that was so important. And I know that story firsthand. Actually, that young boy I just described is my dad.
How about that? That is great.
And so it just gives you an example of how most people would just walk right by that and not even notice. So if you can every day start to be more aware, notice things, drive to work a different way, you know, try to change it up a bit, and you will find opportunities that can help yourself and advance your own career as well as your company's.
We're talking to Jody Walker. Jody, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but let's talk on this subject of curiosity, because most people today, we don't know how to ask questions to get to a different answer. So what tips can you give us for asking better questions so we get better results?
Well, I think one of the important things is to look at what are you trying to find out. So if you're asking questions, you want to really, you know, dig a little deeper and be more curious in the process. So if I'm talking to people and I'm trying to get to know someone, I don't want to just say, you know, tell me what you do. I want to get a little more specific. So I might say, you know, what are some of the most interesting projects you've worked on over the past, you know, couple of months? And how has that helped you? So I'll ask something that allows them to think about something that relates to them. And so it's not about me, but it's about learning more about them. And so that's true in whether you're trying to use that as a tool to network and get to know people better, to really dig a little deeper, ask something a little more specific, as opposed to what most people do is, you know, they're just, tell me a little more about yourself.
All right. That makes good sense. We're talking to Jody Walker, everybody. And I'm going to use that exact same technique on you, Jody, because besides being a consultant and a motivational speaker, you're also a singer and a songwriter. So how does being a singer and a songwriter help you in your job, in your professional life?
Well, actually, it's funny you would ask that, because one of my talents and passions is the singing and the songwriting. And so I've actually written customized theme songs for events. And when it's appropriate, there are times where I take music and integrate it into the program. I do a program on communication, and I tie in a musical element around communication and how musicians communicate. And so I try to change it up myself as well to allow my audiences to get a more creative aspect at looking at a particular topic or an idea. So I've allowed myself to take my own talents, which is one of the things that I love to do, and weave it into my programs whenever it's possible and appropriate. And when people learn to take their talents and strengths and weave it into their job, a lot of things are possible.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to go down a different path with you on that. Isn't music more of a right brain function as opposed to the left logical brain side, and that perhaps helps you to be more creative and helps you to be more original in your thinking?
That's a very good point. It is more of a right brain concept in terms of songwriting in particular, I think, from a creative aspect. And I think that does help me. But I always tell people, if you are more of a left brain, you can learn to access more of your right brain. And by embracing different kinds of activities, I think it's important to have a balance. You know, I am more of a right brain, but I know how to access that left brain if when I'm dealing with clients on different levels. And I think that's an important skill that people can learn to master.
Ah, that's great. We're talking to Jody Walker, everybody. She is a consultant and also is helping us to think more about entrepreneurial thinking. I cannot believe how quickly the time has gone, Jody. Thank you so much for being our guest today, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.